Galatians chapter 2. Then Paul says, 14 years afterwards, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus with me as well. Now he's answering all these accusations that are being made against him by the Jews who've come to the people baptized in Galatia, and they're saying, Paul's just preaching his own ideas. And he's emphasizing that, no, what I'm saying is because I was shown it by Jesus directly. And he says, I went up to Jerusalem because God revealed it to me that I should go up. And I shared with them the gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of great reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So he sees his Christian service as running a race, and he doesn't want to run in vain for nothing. And for him, to get to the end of his race successfully meant that those he was preaching to would be in God's kingdom. So he's being very careful about how he treats these difficult situations because he wants these people to come to the kingdom. But he says, neither Titus, who was with me, being a Gentile, was forced to be circumcised. But because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in secretly to spy out our freedom which we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into bondage. So there were sort of agents of the Jews who were sneaking into Christian churches, pretending that they were believers, when really their agenda was to disrupt the whole thing and to bring the churches that Paul had founded back into the synagogue system, into Judaism. But he said, we did not give place to these people, even for 1 hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And those who appeared by their appearance to be so impressive, whatever they were, makes no matter to me, because God accepts no man's person. Those who appear to be something did not at all influence me at all. But quite to the opposite, when they saw that the gospel of the Gentiles was committed unto me, as the gospel to the Jews was committed to Peter, for he that worked powerfully in Peter in the work of the gospel amongst the Jews was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, that's the name for Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. Only they asked that I should remember the poor, the same which I also was very zealous to do. But when Peter came to Antioch, I stood up to him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before that some brothers came from James, that's in Jerusalem, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when those brothers came, he withdrew and separated himself from the Gentile brothers, because he feared those Christians who were of the Jewish circumcision party. So you see, that's hypocrisy. Oh, I'll break bread with you 1 minute, but more conservative brothers have come. Oh, I'm not going to break bread with you now. I act like I don't know you. And Peter was wrong, and so Paul stood up to him to his face. Now, of course, we all have a terrible desire to do what we think other people would like us to do and to appear right before men. And when it comes to this kind of thing, you really have to do what's right before God and never, ever reject your true brothers just for the sake of pressure from others. Even if it makes upset, you've got to do what's right. And the other Jews likewise were hypocritical along with Peter. And even Barnabas was carried away with this hypocrisy. But when I saw that they did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, if you, being a Jew, live in a Gentile way and not as do the Jews, why are you forcing the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not Gentile sinners, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified or counted right by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So going back to keeping the law of Moses was absolutely wrong. But that's what they wanted to do, because it's actually easier to keep a few rituals than it is to actually be spiritually minded and give the whole of your heart and your life to Jesus. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Certainly not. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a sinner. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. These are now wonderful words, he says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now this is a wonderful idea, that when you think of Jesus on the cross, you can see that actually he died for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. That was for me. It's as if you catch the eye of Jesus and you think, as he looks at you, and you, as if he's crucified, and you look at him, he did this for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So if we can do it all by our own strength and by obedience to laws, then there was no point in Jesus dying on the cross. And the whole thing was wasted just because of us and our insistence to justify ourselves.